hour. And he supposedly died in the 11th hour. And this is not, again, this is not to make mockery. In fact, none of you should be offended by what I'm saying, my brother Reverend. You should not be offended by what I'm saying. Because it's not me, it's the gospel speaking. And my concern is not to injure you or take anything from you, but to compliment everybody or to share. Now, it says that on the 11th hour that he died. And we know the church began its service on the 11th hour, in the 11th hour. Now we know they say, well, that means that we base our hope in Jesus, who gave his life that we may live. So it was his, the act of giving himself, his own life, that makes it possible for us to live. We begin living when Jesus dies. We begin living at his time of death. So that's the 11th hour. We know that. But let's look at something else. The New Testament says that Jesus on the cross thirsted. And we know that Jesus hungered and thirsted. He said, I was a hunger, and you didn't feed me. And I know they say he was talking about his followers. He didn't hunger, but he was talking about his followers. So when he ate bread, he was eating bread, demonstrating what his followers needed. And when he drank wine, he was demonstrating what his followers needed. So when he went up on the cross, he was demonstrating what was going to happen to his followers. And when he died, he demonstrated what was going to happen to his followers. So if we started at one place, we have to continue it. In other words, none of this stuff happened to him at all. Okay, let's go back now. Says, in the 11th hour, Jesus thirsted around that time. And they brought him something. They brought him vinegar and hyssop. A herb and some vinegar. Now, what is another term for vinegar? Vinegar is acid. And another term for vinegar in Italian and in Spanish is aceta. Aceta. Now, if you want to use a descriptive word to describe something that is vinegar, vinegar or something, well, we can say it. I don't know the adjective for it. That has vinegar taste, you would say it is acetic. Acetic. Now, this word acetic is a play on aesthetic. And it directs the scholar to asceticism. When Jesus asked, who succeeded him as authority on earth? It was Catholicism, the Pope, and Catholicism. And what does that all represent? Asceticism. Asceticism for the order, for the hierarchy of the church. Asceticism, right? So, asceticism is what killed him. Saying when he took that, he right away gave us the ghost. I mean, he gave us the Holy Ghost. Say he gave us the ghost. Not just life, he gave us the ghost. And he was born of the ghost. He was born of the Holy Ghost. And then when he died, at that point, he gave us the ghost. He didn't say Holy Ghost because he didn't want to tell you too much. Only to start with it, the God-guided people, they will know that it meant he gave us the Holy Ghost. And it doesn't mean he gave us the Holy Ghost. It means his order, his people, his followers gave us the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost left them. And instead of having the Holy Ghost, that is the spirit that leads him to the life of the comforter, the second comforter, rational enlightenment, instead of having that spirit of inspiration in them, they were devoid of it. aestheticism killed that aspiration in them.
Oh, my God.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, now, dear people, if the cross represents that, and then why should they say that the Son of God on that cross? Why don't they tell the truth and say that that's a symbol of humanity on that cross? And then I'm going to go along with the church leaders who have suggested to me an alternative. They say, look, can't we meet a compromise, man? We don't have any problem. Let everybody put the image in their own image. Let it be Chinese for Chinese, Jewish for Jew, white for the white folks, black for the black folks. That's the way they want to dismiss the problem. That every man is to see Jesus in his own image. If that's a fact, then let's tell every man that that's not God on that cross.
That's right. Allahu Akbar. That's right. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Now, number four, last thing. We are finally at the last part we wanted to establish for the rule of the truth. And you see I'm closing up the page. So that means we might beat the sun down. The last part is this. In the study of symbolism and how it moves and is correlated are intertwined with man's cognitive development. And when we see in anthropology, especially where anthropology addresses the cultural development, the cultural growth of man, we find that man has strained and struggled to bring communication, rational, intellectual ideas, to put them into language that will articulate those ideas for him, and to bring his thoughts, his ideas, plainly to any man, where he doesn't have to take a man and put him in a special school and train him in the knowledge of symbolism, etc., and then began to educate him, that he could pick a man straight from the street and right away begin to address him and educate him. This has been the burden on intelligent communication. And man has had to take concrete symbols and establish them as concepts by which he communicated with his fellow man. Now, we go and we look at another movement, that's anthropology. Now we look at another movement, and this movement is the movement of symbolism as it is found in religion. Man has had a need to see his ideas in himself. And not only himself, but he found a need to capsulize the information that an object tells, say, or a force tells, or a principle tells. If he wanted to talk about electricity, he would put electricity in human image, and he would call it the god Electra. The people who progressed the most in this kind of idea were the Greeks, the people of ancient Greece. They had a whole pantheon of gods, many gods, and these gods were in human imaginative form. Not real form, but they imagined them as human beings in human form. So Electra was a god. Zeus was a god who was over all the others. He was over all the other gods. Apollo was a god. Apollo was a god symbolizing the main motivation or the main generative force in creation. It was symbolized also in the sun. But Apollo, he was the one who drove the sun. So how could he drive the sun? Well, in this picture of this idea, of this wisdom, Apollo had four horses, four black horses, and a carriage. And the carriage carried the sun. And the horses pulled the carriage. And he steered it. Right? This is in mythology, Greek mythology. So we find that man has had to rely upon human concepts in order to attract human interest. Human beings are automatically, easily attracted to an image of themselves. As we have heard, likeness attracts. You recall that? Now, you know what it was. Now, don't. I know what I'm saying, and you know what it was. Likeness attracts. Okay. So man is attracted to his own image. So he gets curious. He's self-curious. Isn't that a fact that human being is self-curious? The thing that occupies him most is himself. He wants to know why. What is it? But the culture can be orientated in such a way that it will take us from this central concern and attach our concerns to just frivolous kinds of interest, right? Okay, so man, had to pick up concrete. And the last concrete he picked up, because Greece was a very, very evolved culture, the Grecian culture, very evolved culture. They had the sciences, they had the divisions of labor, they had highly developed culture, they had everything. Very. Don't think that the past is inferior. The past is superior to most of the communities on this earth. That's a fact of history. Okay. You see, well, did they have airplanes back there? Man, that's not the measure of progress. Okay. So, yes. So man picked up different objects in his environment as a symbol to attract the conscious or the mind or the intellectual interest, so that that symbol then will begin to represent and radiate or express other disciplines of knowledge to the society or to the person through the medium of that symbol. All right. So the human being was the last thing he stopped upon. That was the last thing he erected, the human being. That was a long time ago. Now, why is there no more need? Is there still a need for this? That's the utility. Again, that's a utility, right? But is there still a need for this? No. Why do we have to say that this is a deity? How come this started in the first place? History tells us, science tells us, that it started in the first place because man was superstitious. Even the Grecian society was superstitious. With all of their science, they were developed quite well. But they were superstitious too. They believed that certain phenomena in the external world held bad omen for them, right? And because they didn't have a truly enlightened mind, they had been introduced to materialism and material sciences, but they hadn't been introduced into the human science. And because they didn't have that kind of enlightenment, When the materialism grew, it toppled the establishment. The Greeks gave themselves to material luxury, to material comforts, to material extravagance, and they lost their interest in the sciences, they lost their interest in building up a culture, and they collapsed because of that, right? One of the nations that fell is called Pompeii. The destruction of Pompeii. You heard about that?
Yes, sir.
Now, the word pompous comes from Pompeii. And pompous means giving too much to extravagance as it relates to luxuries, right? They call it pompous. You go in a man's house and he got meat on his couch. Just got out of his Rolls Royce. There was meat on the dashboard of the Rolls Royce. And you go in his house, there's meat on the mantle there. And rugs running upside the wall, and jewelry and sparkles all over the place. You say, oh, this guy is very pompous. Pump and glitter, right? Pump and glitter. So, we understand then that man depended upon those countries because he had not become yet free in terms of the need for him to understand himself, his own nature, himself, his own reality. So man put himself up as an image and a symbol because he didn't know his own reality. Allah said in the Quran, the creation of this universe is a bigger creation than yours. It tells us that the universal scheme is bigger than man. So don't raise your own image up thinking your image is the perfect and it holds everything. No, you're smaller than the creation. So if we would put the universe, the galaxies on the cross, there would be a bigger interest, a bigger significance. Oh no, God's Son is bigger than the whole creation. That's not what our scripture says. Our scripture says God's servant is what is meant in the expression God's son. And it says that none, no creature, nothing can come to him, angel or man, or jinn, nothing can come to him except as a servant. That he can't be approached by no equals. He has no equals. And if you understand the New Testament, it says the sent is not equal to the sender. And many other things I can quote for another half an hour to substantiate that. Okay. All right. So dear beloved people, in our last point, we are saying that the evolution of this particular need, the progress of this need in expression, in the human intellect for rational, clear, particular expression, start with the human concept, or the human symbol, because man had not yet been introduced into the human science. He was just struggling and searching. The Greeks were struggling and searching to understand the sciences of the human nature and the human spirit. And they had not come into the full grasp of those sciences, therefore they tolerated those images. And today, our masses are still burdened by an image on the cross, a symbol that is called in Christianity a mystery. The cross is called a mystery. Jesus Christ, peace be on him, is called a mystery. And his mother, may God be pleased with her, is also called a mystery. All of these things are called a mystery. So why should we be burdened with all of these mysteries Now that science has dawned in the world, and the common man has access to science, and we have schools of higher learning that welcome the common man, and our government has made it a law that the common man must have access to the schools of higher learning. Then doesn't it go counter our interest? And isn't it out of step with the time of man, the masses' growth and development? Isn't it out of step with them to still go back and depend on those primitive, savage, barbaric kinds of concepts in order to attract man to human, to law, and to community concerns? It's time to put it down. Please help us for your own sake as well as for the sake of all of us. Help us advance this particular committee and its effort to remove all images that claim to represent, depict, or portray the divine. Peace be unto you. Thank you for your patience. Good to see all of you here. A lot of you have come a long way, driven for 2 or 3 days. Allah bless you. And if you have faith like I do, you know that today was a blessing. Today was a blessing from heaven. This is Dallas, Texas. About a year or so ago, we had 117 degrees in this town. In this month, I think it was. August. I remember myself hearing the report, it was 111 degrees. And Allah made it cool for us today. The sky was cloudy, so the sun didn't beat down on us. The walk you made was in the shade. I came out and felt so nice. I think I want to make my home Dallas. I don't think I can do it, but I don't want to go back to Chicago. I can't think of, or I don't want to think of what happens in Chicago during the winter. And this is a very beautiful city. I said in my talk Friday at the Jumu'ah that this city equals and maybe it even surpassed Chicago in beauty, skyline, and also down here. Very beautiful city. So let us thank Allah for this meeting and for the peace and for the conveniences and for the mild weather, considering what it could be in Dallas in August. Let us thank Allah for all of that, and let us make it our business and right now begin to thirst and hunger for another meeting of this type. At least once a year, we want to invite people from around the country to come and demonstrate their support for one major concern. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.